Hey, everybody. It's Susan Lassiter-Lyons with the Diva Money Club, where we teach business growth strategies to women entrepreneurs so that they can grow their business to $1 million a year doing what they love. I am so happy that you're joining me on this installment of the Diva Money Summit, and I am so happy and honored to welcome as my guest today, Stephanie Frank. Welcome to the call, Stephanie.
Oh, thank you, Susan. It's so great to be here and to be part of the Diva Money Club.
Awesome. We're happy to have you. You guys, Stephanie is an in-demand human behavior expert and the best-selling author of The Accidental Millionaire, who helps people intentionally master their lives so that they can enjoy more of everything, time, money, laughter, and love. And I know we all want more of that in our lives for sure. Now, Stephanie has helped thousands of individuals and organizations around the world be more efficient, productive, and streamlined so that they can get more of what they want faster than ever. She's been featured in Entrepreneur Magazine, Fast Company Magazine, SelfGrowth.com, Fox News, and hundreds of other media outlets. So Stephanie has an awful lot to share with us today. She's going to share some of the lessons from The Accidental Millionaire, which is her book, and some things that are going to help us be more productive in our business and ultimately make more money. Right, Stephanie?
Absolutely.
Okay, so one thing that I didn't mention in your intro, but I found out about you kind of through my own due diligence, and I hope it's going to be a great story. I want to know more about your story. Tell us how you went from a computer hacker to a peak performance expert. I got to hear this.
Yeah, it seems like a big jump, but I'll tell you, at the end, you'll find that it's really not. I started in business when I was 19 years old, and I did that because I basically was in college. I dropped out of college. I thought, they're teaching me to get a job. I don't want a job. I just want to go out and do this myself. I was 19. I knew everything in the world then. I was really, really smart. I don't know what happened now, but So I went out and I had an aptitude for computers that I didn't even realize I had, but it was working really well. By age 22 is when I made my first million in business, and we started moving forward in the computer industry, and computer networking was just becoming popular then, you know, when people were networking offices. The internet hadn't really been, you know, I mean, it existed, but not publicly and certainly not the way that it does right now. And so I grew the business. The business, like I said, went to $1 million in the first 3 years, then two, then three, then four, then five. And it was growing so fast, and it was going so well on the outside. But I got to tell you, Susan, on the inside, everything was falling apart. I was doing everything totally wrong. Mm. I was working 18-hour days. My relationships were horrible. Mm. And the most ironic thing of that entire time period is this. I had we worked mostly with city government, police, and fire departments and getting them to work. So it's a 24-hour operation. And I would go, I had 120 police departments that we serviced, and I would go to the police department and do the network and be the, you know, be the engineer and the star and all this stuff, and then I would go home to a physically abusive husband every night.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, exactly. Can you say incongruent and really out of balance?
Really?
I mean, it was horrible, and one day everything came to a screeching halt. There was a huge fight that occurred in my home, and you'll read about this when you read the first chapter of Accidental Millionaire, because it's how it starts on, you know, what happens when you're so out of balance with yourself and you're so incongruent with yourself. The universe is going to step in and give you the 2x4 over the head, and something big is going to happen in your life. Well, something really big happened, and I got injured, and I decided right then and there that I was at a crossroads. Do I continue and keep servicing my customers, which I loved, or do I deal with myself and help myself? I chose that day to leave. And as I left, several things happened, but one of them in particular was this. I made a vow, I made a commitment to myself and to whatever was going to happen in the rest of my career, that no matter what I did from that point forward, I would do it correctly. I would learn how to be a better leader. I would learn how to be better at leverage. I would learn how to manage my time better. I would learn how to not give up control, but how to work with other people better so that I wasn't trying to do everybody's job and trying to be in control and all these things. Now, it was a big commitment, but I didn't have the skills at the time. But I thought, you know, my job as a computer hacker, basically, my job as was as an engineer. I have 15 engineering certifications from Novell, Cisco, and Microsoft.
Wow.
And I thought, gosh, Steph, you're in every day troubleshooting computer behavior. Why is the thing slow? Why is it rebooting? Why is the network server not working? Why is the thing crashing? Why doesn't the application work? And every day I'm looking at these behavior problems, you know, in hardware and software. So why can't I apply what I already know about systems and about process to human behavior? And at that point, I became fascinated with the mind, with how we think, how we behave, how we communicate. And I started applying that same systemic thinking to positive psychology, applied psychology, communication strategies, leadership strategies, and I realized that everything that we do as we behave as a human is very similar to behaving as a computer. I mean, think about it. You know, sometimes we need to power down, and sometimes we need to reboot, and sometimes we need to upgrade, right?
Wow. That's a great concept. No, it's totally true.
It is. And I thought, you know, I'm going to try that, and I'm going to be committed to that. And it was a long road of learning because I hadn't really learned about people behavior. It was all computers. So with that commitment, though, I started a new business, and I had nothing. I mean, I had no customers at the time. I obviously had a lot of goodwill and so on with the ones that I had, but I had to heal myself physically and mentally in a lot of different ways. But I started over with that new commitment to myself, to life balance, to work-life balance, and to learning how to leverage. And the net result of that was that my second business grew from zero, basically, to we did about $750,000 in the first year, or I did by myself, actually, as a speaker and a consultant. And then I decided to grow it further. I took on a partner, and that business went up to $10 million in the first 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And exactly, exactly. So that commitment to doing it right it had exponential results. Now, about 2000, the year 2000, is when I really decided, you know what, I want to go into this full time. I started learning how many other entrepreneurs are out there and who have basically the same experience as me, no business education to speak of. They're smart, they're well-educated in what they do, but really don't know how to be a great leader, how to leverage, how to get people to do what you want them to do, how to manage time. They didn't know how to do any of that stuff. So I started breaking it all down. And, of course, the net result of that is the career change that I'm now in and have been for a long time, helping other entrepreneurs get to the whatever their lifestyle number is. For some it's 250, for some it's 500, for some it's a million. I've also worked with billion-dollar companies and $100 million companies. You know, just it really depends on where you want to be and where your efficiency level is. So that's kind of the backstory.
That's awesome, first of all. So you grow your first company to $1 million by the time you're 22. You grow your second one to $10 million. And the thing that I love most about what you just said is that you help people grow their business to their lifestyle number.
Right.
That's so important. And I know that that's something that I personally struggle with, and I know a lot of people struggle with, is that sometimes we get so caught up and focused on just the monetary goal and the dollar goal that we kind of forget about our lifestyle, and we forget to incorporate that into the equation. So that's so important.
Yeah. I can really relate to that. I used to go by a building every day in Wisconsin where I lived at the time, and I thought, oh, someday I'm going to be in that building. And there was a small part to the building and a larger part, and I thought, oh, I'm going to have employees, I'm going to have all these people in there, and I'm going to have this and this and this. And when I got to the million-dollar mark, I was like, you know what, I don't really want that. it just was kind of fun to dream about, but it wasn't what I wanted. And I think that's where a lot of people really get hung up, is they go after things because of status or because society says you should want it. But you really got to do a lot of soul-searching, a lot of heartfelt honesty with yourself. You know, is that really what I want?
Yeah, that's so great. That's very sage advice. All right. So let's get into the question, shall we?
Oh, let's do it.
Okay. First up, we're going to talk a little bit about budgets. I know most entrepreneurs are forced to start their businesses on a shoestring budget, which I personally think is a good thing. But can you share with us some tips to creating a world-class organization on a small budget?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I've done it twice, and I'm doing it my third time. So,
I'm glad I'm talking to the right one.
Yeah. No, I can definitely tell you. You know, when I started my first business, I mean, I didn't know, obviously the internet and all those things didn't exist at the time, but what I did was what I knew how to do. And I see a lot of people today, a lot of people come to me after they've exhausted resources, time, energy, money, and all this stuff, throwing money at a whole bunch of, quote, marketing methods and trying to figure out the internet and trying to figure out this and that. And my success has come always from understanding one little aspect, doing what I know, and moving forward with what I know. What I mean by that is this. Here's specifically. When I started my first business, I didn't know how to do fancy marketing. I didn't know how to do advertising. I didn't know how to do anything, but I knew how to pick up the phone. I knew how to talk to people. I knew how to make a little flyer, and I knew how to tell people what I was doing. That was it. And I started doing exactly that, just talking with people and following signs, I guess. It sounds really fluey, but that's really what I did because there were so many things I didn't know that I just kept focusing on. Well, I do know how to pick up the phone. When I started my second business, the speaking year, I mentioned earlier that the speaking and consulting, in order to get those speaking and consulting agreements, what I did was what I know. Again, I picked up the phone, and I started talking to people. Now, that's scary to a lot of people, and that's not the way that I would suggest that you go today unless you have previous contacts or, a warm circle of contacts that can help you. And that's basically what I did, was I called the warm circle of contacts. When I decided to bring my second business up, and keep moving it further, I recontacted all of the police departments that I'd already had relationships with. There was no fancy marketing or nothing like that. Now, that's an example of, a shoestring startup twice, one without any resources and one with some resources. When I came into this business, I didn't know anything about, writing books and speaking on these topics and speaking to whole different industries. And that, I didn't know. I especially didn't know the internet. But what I do know, or what I did know, and one of the things that I did in my old business was a newsletter, a paper, monthly newsletter. And I thought, well, I know how to write a newsletter, so maybe I'll try this internet thing. And all I know how to do is a newsletter, so that's all I'm going to do. And for the whole first year online in this business, in Stephanie Frank Worldwide, I thought, well, they say build a list. Okay. I'm going to build a list, and that's all I focused on. And when they said, well, you got to send a newsletter or write articles, I was like, okay, stop. That's all I know how to do. So that's all I did is wrote articles, sent them back to my list, and just started building the list and watching the results. I didn't get distracted by the 33,000 other things that you can do online.
Right.
Or
that you can pay other people to do and blow through a lot of cash fast.
Well, yeah, exactly, and so that was really how I started. And the most important advice that I can give anybody on a shoestring budget is do what you know. I talked to somebody the other day who wanted to work with us, and they were down to their last pennies basically. And I said, well, what are you doing to make money? And he told me about this course that he bought. That was something about, something about social media riches or something like that. I said, do you understand how to use the computer? He's like, well, I'm learning. Well, do you understand how to do social media? Well, I'm learning. That's why I have this course. I'm going to make all this money. And I thought, no, that's like going into a whole new industry.
Right.
And that breaks my heart to see really, really smart people being crippled by all of these internet tactics and internet strategies. And I have worked with a grand majority of the large internet marketers out there and help them build their businesses as they're growing. And they're the good ones out there, they're all saying the same thing. You guys, st- stick with one thing and stop the shiny object, you know, oh my gosh, here's the new thing of the week. You know,
right.
This week it's apps. Oh my God, everybody's going to go make money on apps. And last week it was build your list. And I went, oh my gosh, you know. So that's, I've said that in probably, I've said do what you know in probably five different ways. So hopefully people get that message.
No, I think that came through loud and clear, and that's great advice, especially, you know, kind of leading into the next question. So like most entrepreneurs, I struggle with productivity. In your opinion, what are the biggest productivity killers and how can they be eliminated?
Well, interruptions are the biggest productivity killers. And interruptions can come in the form of people, in the form of things that vibrate and ping and ding and make noise, text, and, you know, all of that stuff. I'm going to share with you the one thing. I have two billionaire mentors with a B.
Wow.
And they both do exactly the same thing. And I've been teaching this for years, and I want to share it with your listeners as well. They do one thing with time really, really well. Well, two things. Number one is that successful people know that the greatest currency that we have, it's not money. It's time.
Mm-hmm.
And they not only just know, it's one thing to know it, but it's another thing to live it. Okay, you have 86,400 seconds every day. And if you imagine that as a pile of money, just imagine for a second when you wake up in the morning with this $86,400 bills, and every second one of those dollar bills is going to get spent. You don't save it. At the end of the day, your pile is gone. The question is, where are your dollar bills going to go? Because they can only go to one of two piles, the productive pile or the unproductive pile. That's it. So at the end of the day, I wonder, where is your pile? Is it on the productive side or is it on the unproductive side? And most people will say it's pretty unproductive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing, is how you think about time. And my, like when my billionaire mentor calls me up and says, I want to meet with you, and we sit down for 90 minutes in a coffee shop, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's a big chunk of time.
It's a big chunk of time. But he's leveraged to the point where he has time to do everything that he wants, and that's really should be everybody's goal, is having the time, not the money. Beat that. So that's number one. But number two is this, is how you manage time every day. There are four kinds of time. There's a time called focus time. Focus time is all about having zero distractions, honing in on one or two or three things, depending on the length of your focus time, and creating that space with no distraction. And you can do that in a bunch of different ways. We can drill down if you want, but that's number one important part of time. Number two is flex time. This is the time where you can set appointments, or you are, you know, on the phone, or you're returning calls, or you could be interrupted, but this is your more flexible time. The third type of time is friends and family time, which is obvious. And the fourth kind of time is free time. Now, whenever I say that, people say, what do you mean free time? I don't have any free time. Like, no, you don't. You don't get free time. You create free time.
Exactly.
And it's imperative. Yeah, it's imperative for entrepreneurs to have that space where you're free from have-tos and you just do I want to. And so those are the four kinds of time, but where your productivity really comes is during your focus time. So let's say, for example, you say, I'm going to have 2 hours of focus time. Well, depending upon where you work, like if you work at home, that can present its own challenges if you've got people, you know, in and out. I have a sign on my door when I'm on focus time, and people just don't come in unless, you know, the house is burning down. But the focus time, you turn everything off. You turn off your email. You turn off Facebook. You turn off your phone. You turn off everything. And you literally get to work on the things that are going to make you money now. And it might just be one or two or three things. And this will improve your productivity, well, 100%, first of all. It seems a little weird because it's, for most people, you know, they come out in the morning and they'll make a list of 30 things that they need to do and get to the end of the day and go, oh, I didn't get any of these things done. Well, it's because you didn't make a bucket to actually do them, a time bucket.
Right.
So that's the first thing I do with every entrepreneur. And I've watched, just by changing around people's calendars, I've watched incomes triple. I've watched time off double and triple. I've got one gal who, she was struggling right about at the $1 million mark and starting to go backwards. And she was getting a whole bunch of health problems and things like this. I restructured her calendar. She was working 7 days a week.
Oh,
today she's at $2 million and she works 4 days a week.
Nice.
And she's much more leveraged. We got her the right people in the right positions and all that stuff. So
awesome.
That's step number one is claim your calendar and get some focus time on there and literally schedule it in like a block, like an appointment with yourself.
I think that's great advice. And to be able to kind of visualize time, like dollar bills, that's really helpful. I'm going to have to think about that one because it makes you realize just how precious it is, and it gets you to think a little bit more carefully about where you're going to spend that time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it certainly, you know, it certainly helps you visualize the meaning of spending time, does it not?
Yep. Okay, so continuing along with this, you know, I hear the phrase, and everybody hears it all the time, we need to work on our business instead of in our business.
What
exactly does that mean to you?
Well, you know, Michael Gerber really made that popular with the entrepreneurial market, and it's, you know, with the E-Myth. And basically what that means is that your business should be a series of, what it means to me is your business should be a series of systems, of process, of people working together, and your business should be all about creating the systems and processes and getting the right people so that you can, again, leverage your time. And for a lot of people, I think, you know, what I hear a lot is, anyway, is, well, I can't really afford to hire somebody to do whatever because, you know, I'm just not making enough money yet. And to that, I say, you can't afford not to.
Right.
And that sounds a little cocky, but I'll tell you this. You, as an entrepreneur, especially educated entrepreneurs, which I don't know any that aren't educated in their field, have this high degree of knowledge in whatever area of expertise that you have. So if you're spending your time filing papers or doing administrative work, I don't know one entrepreneur who says, oh, my gosh, I love paperwork and organizing stuff. I don't know one. but yet we believe that because it's a, quote, simple task, we should be able to do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And
there it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I've watched entrepreneurs fall down and just break down over the embarrassment of not being able to file a piece of paper or not being able to organize things the way that they want them organized. I've been there myself. You know?
Right. Yeah,
and
we all have.
And that, exactly. And one of the best things I think that ever happened to me, well, it was probably 20 years ago, is I literally was sitting on the floor trying to file a bunch of papers, and I ended up in tears. And I'm thinking, I should be able to do this, and why can't I? And I called up somebody who, you know, ran a law office. I'm like, why can't I do this? And she said, it's totally not in your strength. And I had spent 5 hours trying to figure out where this piece of paper went.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, exactly. Now, at the time, it wasn't uncommon. I mean, I was highly, highly paid at that time. It wasn't uncommon for me to pull down $20,000 to $30,000 for a half day's worth of work. And here I am sitting here trying to file a piece of paper. Now, this is dumb. Okay,
wow.
This is dumb. So, you know, so when I started over, I remembered that. And I remembered, you know what, there's no way that, and again, this was part of the commitment to doing it right. And I said to myself, I am not going to do things that I don't like or I'm not good at because it is a waste of money. And my next thought, of course, like most people, was, well, all right, here I am starting over. I can't afford to hire somebody. And then my next thought was, you can't afford not to.
Right.
So I said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hire a gal. I hate cleaning, and I don't want to clean stuff. So I hired a gal to come in for 1 hour per week. That was it, 1 hour at $10 an hour. Now, this was way back when it was not common to do that. Now, with virtual assistants and all that stuff, you can hire somebody for an hour easily.
Right.
So I hired her for $10, and my mindset was this: all right, if I'm going to help her, or if I'm going to spend $10, I need to be in my office during that hour while she's in cleaning, and I need to make $20.
Wow.
Because then I'll be able to pay her, and I'll have $10 left over. And I have used that strategy. That's what built my $10 million business, to be honest with you. So
wow.
She started with 1 hour, then it was two, then it was a half a day, then it was a couple days, you know, a couple half days a week, and then it was half time, and then it was full time, and then it was another person, and so on, until we got up to about, I think we had about 15 people. And that is, I would say, yeah, I'd say probably the most important mindset and the most important way of thinking, where I said, I've got to work on my business.
Well,
and
that's a great way of looking at it. You know, and I'm a firm believer. You know, I'm an entrepreneur. I run three businesses, and so many of my friends are saying, oh, Susan, you know, you could get much cheaper labor if you went and hired a virtual assistant, you know, someone from a different country who works for like $2 or $4 an hour.
Right.
Where I have a very highly paid assistant, and she's on salary, and, you know, she gets lots of perks, and I think she's fantastic because she literally can do anything. And she's the one that when I'm on the floor crying because I can't file the paper, she's the one that just says, give me the paper and go do what you do best.
Exactly.
And I'm like, you know, the $2 or $4 an hour virtual assistant isn't going to be able to do that for me.
Exactly. Well, yeah, and that goes back to what do you want and your needs, too, like we were talking about earlier. That's really important. That's good.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome stuff. Okay, so here's a question, and this is something that I think you cover in your book, and I want to really dive into this more because it's an interesting topic to me. But you say that there are four principles of business mastery. Can you share those with us?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I can. In the book, I was talking about those four principles in terms of business. Today, I've expanded those into life mastery as well because of all the life balance work that we do.
Cool.
And it's basically called FAST, F-A-S-T, FAST. And it's very simple. The first principle is focus. Now, we've talked a little bit about that, but focus means a lot of different things. Focus on what is it that you want in your life? What is it that you want for your business? What direction do you want to take, and how are you going to, not even how are you going to make it happen, but mostly in the what. What are we focusing on? So strategy before tactics, and that's the first part. The second is taking action. And again, that comes into a couple parts as well. The time mastery, I don't like time management, but if you master time, you will be amazed at how much time you actually have in a day to get things done. There are many days here that I'm sitting around. Everybody thinks I'm so busy all the time, and I'm like, no, I'm really leveraged, actually. I need something else to do. And so that's the action part, is mastering your time and taking appropriate action on the things that are going to make you the money, on the things that are going to build your lifestyle. I see way too many people clicking around on Facebook or emailing, you know, whatever, things that aren't necessarily making you money. The third thing is systems, and we just touched on that with working on your business, but you've got to have a system for fulfilling your product. You've got to have a system for customer service. You've got to have a system for selling it, and you have to have a system for marketing it. And you have to have, of course, administrative procedures. Those five areas are where I focus most of my time. Well, actually, I have an operations person, but where we focus most of our time, knowing that if something's not getting done, it's not because the person is stupid or that the person doesn't want to get it done, or, you know, what. It's not the people, usually, because nobody gets up in the morning and goes, gee, I hope I can screw up everybody at work today. So we focused highly on the systems. You know, right now, for example, we've got a problem, a situation in my business, and that is I've got a project that's not moving forward as quickly as I would like it to move forward. We're 2 weeks behind, and we've missed the deadline. So that's not because, you know, I've got seven people working on it, and it's not because of any of those people having situations or issues or anything like that. It's me. I'm the problem with the system right now because I didn't get one person what they needed. I forgot, And guess what? It held up the whole project. So rather than run around and blame everybody and tell everybody, oh, my gosh, why aren't you doing this and this, it eliminates that whole feeling, emotional, why aren't we doing this kind of thing. And instead we look at the system and go, oh, here's where it broke down. Let's fix that and keep moving. So systems are highly, highly effective and highly important in your business. And the last is team. The last part of FAST is team, and that principle is basically how you become a great leader, how you delegate and how you communicate your needs to people, to other people, and how you basically it's how things get done is with the team. So focus, as an entrepreneur, you've got to have the focus and vision. You've got to create proper action, scalable systems, and have the right people on your team.
I love it. I was taking notes while you were talking. I actually
took
a page of notes.
Yay!
FAST. I love the concept. I hope everybody has taken notes, by the way. If they haven't figured it out yet, that's definitely something they want to do. awesome. Thanks for sharing, Stephanie. And, you know, thanks for being so transparent to let us know that, you know, there are still going to be issues even when you've had the kind of success that you've had.
Oh, my gosh. It's, you know, I did an interview the other day and we were talking about problems and somebody said, you know, you're a problem solver. And I said, well, I'm actually a professional troubleshooter. I was in computers and I am in behavior now. And if there are no problems to solve, your life is over. I mean, that's what happens every single day.
Yeah,
is we solve problems. You know, even if it's what do you want for dinner?
Right. Sometimes that is a problem.
Sometimes that's a problem. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. You know, I used to think when I was younger that in kind of when I was really hard charging and really upwardly mobile in this entrepreneurial path, I used to think, you know what, it's just a bunch of bunk that there are any differences between male entrepreneurs and female entrepreneurs. But the older that I get, the more that I realize, especially as, you know, a lot of my friends are male entrepreneurs, I see firsthand that there are differences. So let's focus on one specific area of differences, and that's mindset issues. What are some of the specific mindset issues that women entrepreneurs battle, and how can we overcome them?
I'm going to answer that in a slightly off the beaten path way. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely.
Because I go through this with every single one of my entrepreneurs, male and female, believe it or not. And here's the thing. I have about 50% of my clients are male and 50% are female. So here's the thing. I look at it this way. If we look at the person as a holistic person, we have basically four spheres of area that we deal with internally. Everybody does. And you've heard of these, I'm sure. It's physical, your physical body, mental, it's how your thoughts go, your emotional body, and your spiritual or energetic body.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
You know those four. Okay.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Women excel in the emotional and the spiritual or energetic realm. They live there, right? We get our emotions. We're all, you know, we're intuitive. We're all these things. Men excel in their physical and their mental and the mental realms. So what I have noticed is that women, because they excel in the emotional and mental realm, often have challenges in the physical and thinking in the physical and the mental realm. Literally, not just how they think, but even being inside the head. Oh, this makes sense or it doesn't make sense logically, mentally, versus emotionally and with intuition. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah.
Okay. Men have the opposite. They're so connected often to their physical and their mental and what makes sense and what doesn't. That's why they excel in business, is because they can look at things and experience business as a thing, as a fact, whereas most women get stuck in kind of many women, I should say. I mean, this happens with men, too. It's not a male or female exclusion.
Right.
But a lot of women will get caught up in the, I call it passion addiction. You know, they're so excited about what they do that they aren't thinking properly about, does this make sense as a business? And that's the mindset I see a lot with the solo entrepreneurs, the lifestyle, you know, the lifestyle people is, oh, my gosh, you know, I want to do underwater basket weaving and everybody's going to love it and, you know, and so on because they're so passionate about it. So that's one mindset challenge is logic, is thinking logically, not necessarily intuitively, about things like how do we make money, are we making money, does it make sense, logically for the actual business.
Right. You know, one of the things that I have noticed that I personally have a problem with, and I, several of my friends who are women entrepreneurs, you know, we've discussed this as well, is sometimes attaching too much emotion to decisions or feedback or things that happen in our business that we should be like approaching strictly logically. Does that make sense?
Oh my gosh, yes. We have a principle that we teach called facts versus feelings. And every time something happens, I teach my team, and of course, you know, not just my team, but the people that I coach and mentor with. First, we look at the facts, and then we address the feelings, because they're both really valid. Again, and it's not related to male or female; it happens in both. I had one of my clients is having a problem with his partner. It's a man, actually. And he called me up the other day, and he's angry, and he's this and that. Whoa, hang on.
Right.
Facts versus feelings. What are the facts? Okay, and your feelings are really important, too, and they have no business being in this decision. So let's bust it apart. About, 6-8 months ago right now, we had a devastating thing happen in my business. Well, devastating, I guess, is one way to look at it. Really fortunate is another way to look at it.
Oh, there you go.
But what happened was it was a Sunday afternoon, and I went to go to I was on my way out the door, and I went to go grab one of our websites or something, and I couldn't get the website up. I was like, huh, that's weird. And I tried another one. That one's gone too. I was like, huh, that's weird. So I called up our tech people, and I said, our sites are down. Can you go, you know, reboot the server or whatever? And they're like, oh, we weren't working today. And okay. So long story short, we finally get the hosting company on the line, and they call me up, and they said, you've got a new account with us. And I said, no, we've actually had 8 years' worth of data out there. said, it's gone.
Oh,
everything's gone. And what had happened was a virus came in and somehow deleted everything. So the obvious thing is you go, okay, now if your entire business was there 1 minute and gone the next, okay, what would you do? And
do you want to know honestly? I'd go get under the covers with a big glass of vodka.
Right, a lot of people would.
Is that the answer?
A lot of people would. So I looked at it like a guy would, and this is the mindset, this is the thing, is most women will just crawl under the covers and go, oh, my God, why did this happen, and da-da-da. I gave myself 15 minutes to freak out, and then I thought, well, I've been wanting to kind of rebrand and start over, and okay then. And I couldn't be in the feeling mode because my whole team was going to freak out. So next morning, I told the team, I said, okay, you guys, we've got a situation, and I told them about the situation, and everybody kind of panicked. They said, no, listen, our selling system, it goes back to systems, okay? Our selling system is really solid, and it's not dependent on our websites, and it's not dependent on any of the sites that we lost. So our selling system was completely intact. Our database was completely intact, and it didn't stop my people from getting on the phone whatsoever. Now, the fact that we didn't have a website out there and so on, yeah, kind of a deal, but not that big of a deal. And so we now spent a good amount of time. We're rebuilding, and we're taking our time doing that stuff. But that could have been a total panic moment. And instead, I turned it into a lesson for my team on dealing with adversity. Facts versus feelings.
I love it.
Yep.
I love it.
And every time I've had that, oh, you know, that panic thing of, oh, my gosh, did we lose every, you know. Well, of course, we had backups and, you know, and so on, and we were able to bring a lot of the stuff back in a new format, in a more streamlined way, and that's how we dealt with it.
Cool. Well, that's a great story, and it really helps illustrate the point. You know, you talked a few minutes ago, you mentioned the woman that was stuck at $1 million, and she even seemed to be kind of going backwards. You know, I think even the most successful entrepreneurs are guilty of, on some level, sabotaging their success. Why do you think this happens, and how can we overcome it?
there's something that I teach called sudden success syndrome, and it's funny. I pitched a book a while ago, and my publisher said, you know, not enough people are having success right now. And I said, you don't get it. Success is not just money. Success
right.
could be getting the right job, having a great relationship. Success is getting what you want, basically, and people want different things. And there's a very simple four-step process that people go through, and I don't care what level that you're at. I don't care if you're just starting out or you're a billionaire, because my billionaire mentors go through this process at every level that they are, and it goes like this. First of all, you get really clear on what. So what is it that you want? Whether that's money, the relationship, or whatever. Okay, so you get real clear on that. Then once you're clear on what you want, now you can figure out the how. Most people, first of all, never get what they want because they go about that one piece backwards.
Right.
How can I make $1 million? Well, is it $1 million net? Is it $1 million gross? Is it, you know, get real clear on what that is. Then the how comes. Then once you have the how, now you can figure out what resources you need. Okay, well, here's how I'm going to build my business. So I'm going to need an assistant. I'm going to need a web designer. I'm going to need so now you know the resources. It's the next step that gets people stuck, and that is the fear. Once you get really clear on exactly where you're going, how you're going to do it, we go, oh, my gosh, but I can't afford the assistant. I can't afford the web designer. And this is why people start to sabotage their success, because they think of all the reasons that they can't get there. Does that make sense so far?
Yeah, definitely. They think of all the reasons why they can't get there.
Exactly.
And
that's
making
normal.
Excuses and rationalizations.
Exactly. And that's really normal. That's what the brain does. It says, whoa, we're going out of our comfort zone. Oh, my gosh, we got to stay there. So here's all the reasons that we got to stay in our comfort zone. Mm. But this is the key, though. This is what's really important. If you take all of those reasons, and this is how I teach goal setting, by the way, is if, you know, you're going to reach a goal, and the first thing I do is I say, don't do all this, feel the fear and do it anyway, and, you know, and reach your goals no matter what and push yourself. No, let's go with the fact that your brain is going to kick up a whole bunch of obstacles. Write them down. I want you to dig in there and go, I can't do it because I don't have enough time, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough education, I don't have the right resources, I don't know anybody, I don't, whatever. Just blah, write them all down. And then take each one of those and flip it. What is your overcoming strategy? I don't have enough time. Okay, how about we schedule an hour of focus time every day? Great. I don't have enough money. Okay, well, do you even know how much money you need? Because that's what most people go, I can't afford that. What is that and how much does it cost? You don't
exactly.
even know.
Exactly, yeah, it's just an assumption, especially about web stuff. People are like, I could never afford a website. I'm like, really?
Oh, my gosh.
Do you have
$20 free.
And a finger?
They're free at
you
WordPress.
You can have a website, yeah.
Exactly. So usually the answer to the overcoming strategy is getting more education or getting more knowledge. I can't afford a website. Well, you don't know what it costs. So the next step would be find out what it costs.
Right.
And research. And what ends up happening is you end up literally building yourself a step-by-step plan to get past that fear to then start all over again in the process. What do I want? How am I going to get it? What resources do I need? And why am I scared? And as long as you have an overcoming strategy, you will not get stuck, and you will not sabotage your success.
I like that. I'm writing down right now, why am I scared? Because that's the step I think that a lot of us need to do in terms of figuring out, you know, why exactly, what is the fear? And I did this exercise once before because I was stuck at a certain income point, and I really wanted my business to grow beyond it. And I did this kind of intuitively. I'm glad to know it's an actual thing. but I just, you know, wrote down that I'm afraid that I'm going to lose my lifestyle if my business grows bigger than this, because I really like my lifestyle the way it is. So it's good to know then that you can kind of maybe reverse engineer that and figure out, okay, if I want to grow it and still maintain my lifestyle, now what do I need?
Exactly.
Okay, cool. That's great advice. Okay, last question. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. This has been great, by the way. You're just giving up, like, so many great gold nuggets. I absolutely love it. And I know everybody listening is just, like, thrilled with this information.
Good,
Final question. What are some simple things that we can do now that we have gotten our mindset clear, we've realized that we definitely want to achieve these goals that we're setting for ourselves, and we know how to achieve them. What are some simple things we can do to ensure that we stay on the path to success?
Really simple things is this. First of all, every human being, we're male, female, and as you know, I'm all about balance. In order to stay successful, you have to balance the doing with the being. And this is difficult for some entrepreneurs, and for some it's not. So there's the doing, there's the goal setting and the time and the email and the newsletters and the production and the sales process and the marketing and that's all doing. And then the being part is what you do for exercise, how you eat properly, what you do in your free time, how much free time you allow yourself to just be and maybe read a book or do something wonderful that you really enjoy and master, again, it's all about time mastery, but mastering what you do in that free time so that you give yourself the space to just be. So that when you're in the doing, the being part enhances your creativity, might even give you a whole new way of thinking about your business, a whole new way of being about it, might give you a whole new idea. It's imperative that if you're not mastering that right now, that you begin. And you can start small. I mean, start small with a five-minute walk every day. Start with 5 minutes of meditation or just being quiet or listen to some fun music that you like, that you just love. Both of my billionaire mentors have mastered this and will not start a day without having done exercise, my one mentor does three things every day. He does exercise and meditation. He eats a very balanced breakfast, and he reads the newspaper. And he won't even start his day without that.
I guess when you have a plan, you got to stick with it.
Exactly. And, and that's really key. So I hope that's understandable to everybody. And if you're not balanced in the doing and the being, what will happen is what happened to me. And this is, you hit the wall. You burn out and your life is no fun and you're stuck in the doing all the time.
Right. Yeah, definitely we need to figure out a way to spend more time on the being. I think that's going to be one of the big takeaways of this talk.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Stephanie, I understand you have a very special offer for the divas that are listening in today.
I do. I'm so excited. What I want to offer the divas is a free copy of the Accidental Millionaire book and toolkit. And basically what that is the blueprint written in a really fun, light, and encouraging way that I definitely took to come up to a point of balance, and basically how did I build my million-dollar businesses. Along with the book, at the end of every chapter, there is a section called Something Successful to Think About. And at the end of each chapter, there you'll find tools and worksheets and things right out of what I call the Accidental Millionaire Toolkit that you can follow along to help you create your vision, help you create your focus, help you create your proper calendars. To start, there are worksheets in there to help you start building your systems, build out your systems. It's all outlined in the book. And there are also worksheets in there to help you define your team, not just your business team, but your personal team of people to help you with your wealth management and so on. So there's a lot of good stuff in there. And in addition to that, as a bonus, we've actually got three bonuses that come along with it. The first bonus is you're going to get something called the Intentional Mastery Primer. And the Intentional Mastery Primer is the full body of work that helps you really create that work-life balance, that happiness and joy in your life. And it's a whole bunch of systems in not just the doing but also in the being in this world. So to help you find more, as we said at the beginning, time, money, laughter, and love. The second thing is I'm going to give you access to our Intentional Mastery community, and that comes with a year's worth of free training as well on a lot of the subjects that we've talked about and so much more in relationships and partnerships and all of those things. So you're going to get access to that. The third thing is, if you would like, is a clarity consultation, which is short consultation with one of my Clarity consultants that will, if you're not really sure what direction to take next, they'll help you figure out exactly which next step to take. So all three of those bonuses are in there as well. So it might be a $24 book if you go and buy the book, but the value of the toolkit and the community and the training is almost $2,000. So
wow.
I want to give that to the divas for free.
Oh, my goodness. Woo! Holy smokes, that is quite an offer. Thank you so much, Stephanie. I really appreciate it. And on behalf of everybody listening, I know everybody is collectively going, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. It's really important. You know, why am I doing this for free? It's really important to me that, you know, this community and, and our economy and our world is run by creative thinkers and is run by creative entrepreneurs. And I really think that it's not your right, but you're also your responsibility to really get your passion out there and really get the joy out of your business that you really want to get. And I'm seeing 20 million people and just in the U.S. alone stuck on not knowing these simple things like I used to be. So that's why I'm giving it to everybody for free.
Wow. Well, that's most generous, and thank you so much. And Stephanie, thank you so much for spending the time that you spent with us here today and sharing all the fantastic information, and really not only fantastic information, but really meaningful and actionable too. So thank you so much
Good.
For that.
You are welcome. Let me give you the URL so everybody can write that down. Correct?
Yes, everybody's writing. The place,
okay.
You want to give it or you want me to?
No, go ahead. Why don't
okay,
you?
The place where everybody needs to go to take advantage of Stephanie's most generous offer is divamoneysummit.com/Stephanie. divamoneysummit.com/Stephanie. And that's where you can get the copy of Stephanie's book, The Accidental Millionaire, with the bonuses that she talked about. The Clarity consultation, the membership community, and the other training tools, and I think it's a workbook. Wow. I mean, the only thing I wrote down was like Clarity consultation because it's like, I want to talk to somebody. Get me clear.
Right.
And I'm like, and the community too. I'm like, hey, there's other people like me. Yay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. 20 million.
Yeah. Yay. Well, that's good to know. Not the only one. See, we're definitely not in this alone, you guys. So head over to divamoneysummit.com/Stephanie and take advantage of the generous offer that she's given us. And boy, if you thought this information was fantastic and meaningful and actionable, then I just can't wait to see what's in store for us when we all get Stephanie's book and join her community. So thanks again, Stephanie, for being here. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, Susan, it's wonderful to be here. And I just want to say I think you're doing wonderful work with the divas, and just keep it up. The world needs you.
Thank you so much. We plan to do it. All right, you guys, this is Susan Lasseter-Lyons with the Diva Money Club, where we teach business growth strategies to women entrepreneurs so that they can grow their business to $1 million a year doing what they love. Thanks for joining me on the Diva Money Summit. Thank you, Stephanie Frank, and thank you for listening, divas. Have a great night, everybody, and we'll talk soon.